Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
We want to start with our anchor scriptures as usual. Our first anchor scripture is going to be the book of John chapter 16, 7 to 4. John 16 verse 7 to 4. John chapter 16 verse 7 to 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. You can join me to read. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Let's continue. The next verse. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Job description. Let's continue. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not in me. The next verse. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. The verse 11. The verse 11. Of judgment, because the pride, the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So are you following the job description? So the first job description is that he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness. The second job description is what he's going to spill out over. He said, there are many things he wanted to tell them, but they can't bear it. Let's go to the verse 13. Let's see what happened over there. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. And our last verse, he shall glorify me. So that's the third job description. For he shall receive of mine, and he shall shew it unto you. So that are the three key dot job description. I hope you all understand job description. Good. Our second reading, anchor scripture, is going to take from the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. Can we welcome the family of Mr. Ganiba and the wife? You are welcome. Damien, you are welcome. I have missed you. That is the senior apostle in our midst. All right. John chapter 14 verse 16. And I will pray the Father, he shall send you another out comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of what? Truth. Whom the world cannot what? Receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, our theme scripture, which we are going to stand on for this new series, is 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and the verse 14. I know all of you know this scripture. If you don't know this scripture, it means that you don't go to church. Because that is what we used to what? End service. Let's go now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Even some of you don't know where it is, right? And so today you know. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the verse 14. Can you project it for us? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Oh, we can't find it. All right. We have already recited it. So, we are starting a new series. By the grace of God, we are bringing to an end what we started last year, the foundational doctrines of the believer, and we are starting another series. I don't know how long it will take us, but we are going to cruise with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Can we take a word of prayer? Father, we thank you as your word come unto us, we pray that your word will be firmly planted in our heart, established in our heart, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. I want us to start with these keynotes, and I want you to take note of this very keynote I want to say to you. The first and the principal knowledge every believer must understand. The principal, when I say principal, key, the most important idea, concept, belief, understanding that anybody who calls him or herself a Christian must have with them as a conviction. I want to use the word conviction. Convicted with is the principle of growth. Principle of growth. The Christian life is a life of growth because the experience, I'm going to give you four reasons why it's a life of growth. Number one, the Christian life is a life of growth because the experience that the average individual had or experienced or what happened to you that made you a Christian is defined by the term born again. In John chapter 3 verse 3, the Bible said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, I want to paraphrase. Jesus was saying, speaking to Nicodemus, said, until a man or unless a man is born again, he or she cannot experience the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So the experience that made you a Christian is called the term what? Born again. And we know that anything that is born is subjected to what? Growth. I hope you agree with me. The principle of growth is that you are being born. So anything that is born to what? To grow. So the first reason for you to understand that this Christian life, the first conviction you have to walk with is growth, is because the experience that happened to you that made you a Christian is called what? Born again. And as long as you are being born, growth is inevitable. Number two, when you received, or when you were born again, or when you got born again, there is something that you received as a result of you being born again. And it's in the same book of John chapter 3, the verse 16. And we all know this scripture. Yes, let's go together. John 3, 16. For God so loved that he gave. But how about everlasting what? Now the key word over is that when you are born again, you gain something called everlasting what? Life. So this life is defined. Otherwise, call it what? Eternal life. Now let's do a little science here, our basic science knowledge. I remember, I'm sure in JHS we all learn about cell and living plant or system, right? And we found out that there are certain six key components that define things as living things and what? Non-living things. What is one of them? One of them is what? Growth. So what makes an organism a living thing is that it should what? Grow. And what makes an organism living? Because there is what? Life in it. So if indeed we have received life, then it means that it is expected that we what? Will grow. And these growths are not an eternal growth, because the life we have is what? An eternal life. So it's very expedient that anybody who called him or herself a Christian must have this understanding that the life of you that made you a Christian is a life of growth. Because first, what happened to you to make you a Christian is a process of growth. Number two, what you received when you became a Christian is life. And it is defined that anything that has life essentially is seen by what? Growth. What is the difference between a stone and a mango tree? Because a stone cannot grow, but the mango tree grows. Hallelujah. So if you're a Christian and you don't have this conviction first, that the journey you have started or the thing that you have received or what you are convinced and you are confessing that you are is an aspect of growth, then there is a problem for you. Hallelujah. I've given you two reasons, right? Let me give you the third one. If you look into scriptures, you will find out that the life of the believer is defined by certain stages and processes of growth. And I'm going to give you four. We know that there are four stages of growth or four developments you go through when you are born. Number one, we have the baby stage. If you look in scriptures, the Bible defines us or calls us what? Babies. I'm going to give you scriptures. Let's read the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. The book of Peter is in Genesis, before Genesis, after Revelation. Have you found it? All right. Before Genesis, after Revelation. I hope you have found it. Hallelujah. All right. Did I say anything wrong? As newborn babes, listen, he said what? As what? Newborn what? He was talking to the believer. Desire the sincere milk that you may thereby what? So the life of the believer starts with a stage that Apostle Peter was telling that you are newborn what? Babes. And this is a definition of growth, because we are born as babies, but we don't die as babies. Hallelujah. The second stage is what we call the child stage. Any person who is born will grow from being a baby to what? A child. And in the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 21, we see Apostle John also calling the believer as what? Children. And this time it was a defined one. Let's look at what he said over there. 1 John chapter 5 verse 21. He said, what is the word about the what? Little what? Again, the word is what? Little what? Little children. Please, you can come in. There's space. Keep yourself from what? Idols. Amen. So we see that we are moving from what? Baby stage to what? Being what? A child. And now we are being a baby. Now we are moving to what? Little what? Then when we grow from being a child, which is between our, let's say, 5 years or 3 years all the way to 12, we are called a child. Then we enter a state we call the young adult or adolescent, young men, young women. The Bible also addressed the believer as a young man or a young woman. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. Young men. 1 John chapter 2. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from what? The beginning. And I write unto you what? Young what? Young what? Because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little what? So you see the little children here again. Because you have known the what? The Father. Let's move on. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from what? The beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abide in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So the Christian life, as I said, is a life of what? Growth. And it's a conviction that everybody must walk with. And you go through the various stages. We start as babes. We take milk. We start as little children. We have overcome idols. We have become young men. And there are things. And so every stage has what it symbolizes as you grow. So you know the things that you overcome as you are growing. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Okay. Then the last one is maturity or full of age. Now we know that in our defined system in Africa or let's say the world, when you are 40 years, you are not a youth anymore, winging. So you are full of age. There's also a stage in your life as a Christian that we call you matured, or you are full of age. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. And let's look at what mature people do. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, for which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such have need of milk and not of what? Strong milk, meat. Let's continue. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is what? A babe. You see, the babe has come here again. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, as not newborn babes desire sincere milk, is also here. Let's continue. So it is very dangerous to stick to one stage. He said those who are babes are unskilled with what? Righteousness. I'm not teaching about it, but I just want to show you the stages that shows that Christian life is a life of growth. But strong meat belong to them that are what? Full of what? Age. maturity, strong meat. So there are things that's why when we come to church, it's not about the age in terms of number that determines what you need to be taught. There are things that define. So when, as a pastor, when I see you and I engage you and I start talking to you, your responses and understanding will tell me which stage you are. And it's my job to make sure I gave you the necessary nourishment to move you to the next stage. It's a conviction. The reason why many people don't invest in their Christian life because they don't understand this first principle. The reason why you think I can just walk into any church is because you don't know that your life is growth, and growth is intentional. Growth is intentional. Growth does not happen overnight. It is intentional. Just our little sister here, or all the young ones over here, if you know the kind of investment that has gone into their life, even at this stage. Hallelujah. So we see that growth is defined by process, or the believer's life is defined by process, which is what symbolizes what? Growth. Finally, the fourth reason why we have to understand that a Christian life is a life of growth is because the man Jesus that we follow, when he was born onto this earth, went through growth process. We had baby Jesus in a manger, right? Then we had a young Jesus in the temple engaging the elders. Then we had a full-grown Jesus who was baptized by John the Baptist. We saw all these stages of Jesus' life. If Jesus was not born to grow the same day and to do what he's supposed to do, it means that we too will not escape it, because his life is a pattern unto us. Are you with me? Are you with me? Sure. So, I want to first of all help you to understand what we are doing and what we are about to do. It's not that I just come and then I start to talk. No. I am nurturing you to grow. Hallelujah. Amen. And this thing is very important, because many people have made a mess of their Christian life because they don't understand this thing. People have been in church for 20 years and they are still babes. And this is so dangerous that when it comes to time that they have to take dominion over certain place or certain things, they lack skills. The Bible said they are unskilled. Babes are unskilled. So you see that people's life have now become that without a pastor, they cannot survive. If you see anybody who cannot survive without a pastor, that is a babe. Just as this young girl cannot survive without a mother. If anything that happens to you, you have to call your pastor, you are just like this child. And Christian growth is not in age. You can be in church for 40 years and you're still a babe. When you are able to gain skills to be able to appropriate righteousness, then you have left the babe stage. The Bible said even little children have overcome what? Idols. Little children. So from even being a little child in the Christianity shows that you are able to overcome what? Idols. So many people are making mess of, and it looks like Christianity has become a whole life of, it's a difficult thing, but it's not difficult. Why? Because the major thing that is very important and relevant unto us, you don't do it. Let me put this to you. Anything that God gives you in church, anything we receive, anything we go through in church, is because it is necessary for our growth. So even if God gives you money, the money is meant as a tool to enhance your spiritual growth. If God gives you breakthrough, it is given to you to enhance your spiritual growth. Just like any father knows that at certain stage, you need money to pay your fees. So let's say that you come to me, daddy is here, and the son comes, oh daddy, we have resumed, we are going to school. And you give money to him. Why did he give the money to him? To enhance his what? Psychological growth. Psychological growth. Your mental faculty is enhanced growth. So school fees is given to you. So the money was not given to that child to go and spend. Who betides you that he gave you school fees and you find yourself at the club with it? Do you really get it? So even the breakthroughs and the things that God is doing for us on daily basis is meant as tools to enhance our growth. And what is growth in the believer? Until we all become the stature of Christ. When you are on your everyday life is reflecting who Christ was on earth, that is an evidence that you are growing. So if you are here and witches are still scaring you, you need to start your course. You are still a babe. Because even young children are hot. Little children are overcoming what? Idols. How much more witches? They are for babes. So if you are here and somebody is playing with your destiny and you are there crying, you need to start your course. It means that you have not started the whole thing about Christianity. You don't know what you are up to. You are just deceiving yourself. You are living a life of deception. Now, how is growth done? God designed man to grow on certain systems. God, by his wisdom, meant that anytime you are growing, there are systems in you that grows with you. Naturally, now let's do a little anatomy. The nurses over here help us. So let's do a little anatomy over here. I hope I'm not intimidating anybody. I'm not a science student too. Hallelujah. In anatomy, what I want to say is that when you look at the human as an organism, we have been divided into certain systems. Our organism is divided into systems, right? If you start with a cell, then cells form together to become our tissues, right? And tissues come together to form our organs. Then organs come together to form the organoid system. Then the system comes together to form an organism. Those of you have forgotten your biology, I'll tell your science teacher. How can you disgrace your science teacher here? Or should I get some quiz for you to write and send it to your science teacher? Now, if you are sick and you go to the hospital and the medical doctor wants you to know what is wrong with you, do you know how they start it? The same that is hot at fault. So they'll check whether it's the skeletal system or your nervous system or your respiratory system. When they get the system where the problem is, because that's the first point they can get. So they said the certain things are symptoms. Headache, this, that, they are symptoms. They are not there. So they'll use it to trace. Okay. It is the nervous system. So which part of the nervous system is hot? Then they'll trace it. So our life, as we live here, we are moving well because our systems are hot, working perfectly. Do you know that it's the same idea that we have used to develop most of our machines? Those of us who use cars, you know, when you take your car to the mechanic shop, they will trace which of the system is at fault before they start working on it. Yes. Because systems will come together to make one organism what? Work and function proper. So even our sophisticated machines and simple machines are designed on what system? Because God designed us that systems will come together to what? To grow. Can I put it to you that your spiritual life is not an exemption? Your spiritual life is designed on certain systems. And in the kingdom of God, our life grows on systems. So when we want to know that a believer is growing, we look at these systems. The evidence that a lady is matured is that we see that the reproductive systems are functioning. So the moment you hit the age of 13, 14, 15, we are expecting to see certain things. We are expecting to see a change in your front appearance, certain shape, certain things will start happening to you. That means that the woman or the lady is not a small girl anymore. At that time, you have to respect her because she can be called mother. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. So our growth is designed on systems. When you are born, your skeletal system is there, but it is not developed. But because of the food you are given, everything, you see that you start gaining strength, so you start out crawling. And you stand on your feet and you start walking. When you were born, you didn't start walking instantly because your skeletal system has not developed. And as you grow, there are things you can lift as a result of your skeletal system. Are you with me? So you see that our growth is because of our systems that grow along with us or develop along with us. In our spiritual life, we are designed to grow on systems. And I'm going to tell you those systems. So the holistic development of an individual is how your various systems are being nurtured, nourished, and then the right environment for development. Do you know that some children are more, how do you call that word? Because of certain imbalanced diets they have taken. So yes, sickness like Koshoko, all this is as a result of certain systems in the person who has not. You see some people, they can't grow, they couldn't grow, it's a stunted growth. Now, let's look at example. When you look at a child who is 16 years in Ghana and a child who is 16 years in America, you know you see a difference. You may think that the one in America is the big brother or big sister of this one, but sometimes even the Ghanaian is even older than them. Why? It's because of the system, the environment. So even the environment influences your heart, your development. So the holistic development of a person, the environment, the food, all other things put together help your systems what? Develop well. And the better your system develops, the world you become. It's the same spiritual. So what are the spiritual systems that the believer is given? There are seven systems. I'm hiding somewhere. There are seven systems. These are foundational system. It's a system in the believer. Spiritual system. Number one, foundational system. Number two, connecting system. Number three, informative system. Number four, deliverance system. Number five, dominion system. Number six, character system. Number seven, ministry system. For every individual to grow holistically as a Christian, these very functions in you must develop. And the foundational system is your spiritual skeletal system. Each of them are... Yes. Your skeletal system, your physical... What is making you fit and standing? If you check your spiritual system, it's called the foundational system. Hallelujah. Now, it is the foundational system we have been dealing with for the past 1 year. So if you have been in church since 2021 till now, all that I've been teaching was on your foundational system. The foundational system is very important to the believer in the sense that if you get it wrong, everything about your Christian life is wrong. Yes. If your foundational system at the start, you get it wrong, you are in trouble. When the believer start on a wrong note, foundation, the person is going to veer out. Now, the reason why we see all this false religion is because of foundation, foundational issues. For somebody to dupe you spiritually is because of your foundation. You have no foundation. So all we have been doing for the past 1 year was to deal with our foundation. Because the foundation provides the framework upon which all your spiritual life develops. Do you know that your foundation is very necessary to the point that skillful builders must work on your foundation? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read the scripture here. Don't forget, we are looking at what? The communion of the Holy Spirit. Introduction. So just as we started last year, I'm going to start giving you introduction. I'm leading you somewhere. Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as what? A wise what? Master builder. I have what? Laid out the foundation. Paul was telling the church of Corinth that I have laid the foundation for your Christian journey. And I'm able to do it because I'm a what? A wise master what? Builder. So it's not everybody that can lay the foundation in a believer. Foundation in the believer is not come to church, pray, give offering. No. It requires masters. Now, I heard this story that if you go to Singapore, those who teach crèche and nursery and class one are doctorate degrees and professors. Because they believe that the foundation is very important. So if you go to Singapore, those who teach children like this, you must have a doctorate degree or you're a professor. But in Africa, it's the vice versa. Why? Because foundations are very critical, such that you need a wise master builder. You need a wise master builder to help you to lay foundations. So Paul said, by the grace of God given to me, I've laid foundations in you. The question I have for you this morning, who laid your spiritual foundation? Was that person a wise master builder? And today we will know whether your foundation is right or you will know. If it took me over a year, I'm not even done. No. We have just done only one aspect of your foundation. Now, the believer's foundation is divided into three. We have your belief system, your value system, and your worldview. These three things. Now, all that I did the whole of last year, 90% was the belief system. The things that you believe. What are the foundational beliefs that you, the believer, have? So you found out that last year, I taught things like essential doctrines of the faith. Do you remember I told that you can be scammed with Jesus? Do you know you can be scammed? Another Jesus. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. So they can preach another Jesus, another what? Gospel, another spirit to you. You can be scammed. So how do you know that this is the authentic Jesus? How do you know? How well? These are things, this is what I say, it's your structure. If you don't know, you are in trouble. And we learn things like what? The things that what are most surely believed by us. What are the tenets of the Christian faith? What is your understanding about tithing, offering, evangelism, Christian gathering? Do you understand them? These are foundational. So somebody will come and tell that if you don't pay tithe, you are cursed and you are scared. How well do you understand it? Holy Ghost baptism. How well do you understand them? These are foundational. Believers' value system. What are the things that you put first in your life? Your value system. Value is the thing you cherish most. So what are the things you put first? When you wake up, what are the things you put first? I can tell you, most people don't have quiet time anymore. Because they don't have value. Their values are not developed. They don't have values. So you see, you need a wise master builder to make sure that your foundations are right. Then we can look at the elements of faith. Now, the kind of faith teachings we have now is the spirit of covetousness. Some people's faith was able to turn cities upside down. Your own can only claim visa. Is that not suspicious? All your faith can do is to receive material blessing. But if you read the hall of faith, say by faith, they turn cities upside down. But you, your own, is only material blessing. That is the spirit of covetousness. So when we say you are a believer, and we don't even know the various growth of faith. No faith, little faith, great faith, so great faith. Do you remember all those series? So it will be very difficult for anybody here to be deceived if you really followed what we did the whole of last year. It will be very difficult. That is foundation. So your foundation is very critical. That it requires a wise master builder to what? To do it for you. I pray that we will revisit our foundations. And see, Christianity is simple when you get it right. That's the word. When you get it right, it's simple. But if you miss it from the beginning, it's just like a building. The Bible says Christian life is just like a building. See, a dying foundation, it's just a matter of time. That's what Paul said. I'm a wise master builder, and I laid the foundations for you so that somebody can build upon. If I want to show you typical foundations, look at people who attend Jehovah's Witness. How many of you have tried to witness to a Jehovah's Witness before? But you have given up. Dude. The way they teach them, it will take only the Holy Spirit for you to witness to them. Look at Muslims. They are able to ground themselves in a way that it takes God and divine intervention to pull them to the kingdom. But it is easy to sweep a Christian. It's so easy. It's so easy because their foundations are so weak. Our skeletal system is weak. So any wind, then we are on the floor. But I pray for you that your system, your foundational system will be strong. From today, I pray for you that God will give you wise master builders. You will not fall in the hands of charlatans. All that they know is to take from you, but cannot invest in you. And your Christian life will become a life of struggle. I pray for you that God will give you wise master builders. People who lay the right foundation in you, that you can take a stand for God. The Bible said, "For I write unto you, young men, for you have overcome the world." I pray for you that the world will not overcome you. You overcome the world. Somebody said, in Ghana, we have over 75% population as Christians. But what happens in the country doesn't tell that we are Christians. And the problem is foundation. Yes, it's foundation. So foundation is very important. When our foundation is right, everything is right. Now, when we lay foundations in the believer, or the believer's foundation is well laid, one of the next and important things that we need to work on for the believer is your informative system. Somebody say informative system. Now, we're going to tackle informative system in the next 25 minutes. We close. Just as every person is born and the person start growing, we start learning about environment due to the informations we receive. Is that not it? Now, the truth of the matter is that when you are born again, God, by his wisdom, gave you certain things in your spiritual DNA that is to aid you to be informative in the kingdom. Therefore, every believer must develop the skill set to be able to communicate in the spiritual environment. Yes. And that is your informative system. So when a child is growing at the age of 1, 2, and he's not able to say, mama, dada, don't you get worried? Don't you get worried? Because you believe that as that child is born, there are certain things in that child that should help the child to be able to what? Talk, hear you, act, touch, and feel that this is what? That you, I don't like this food. Taste. Is that not it? So you are looking for those things. If you don't see them, you get worried. It's the same spiritually. So when you are born again, we need to see certain systems, skill sets coming out of you, showing that you are what? You are getting acquainted with your spiritual environment, because you are born into a new environment. It is in this pursuit that one of the concepts I need to teach you is the communion of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. It's a very critical statement. If you read the book of John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, help me. Let's listen to what Jesus said. Very critical. Every believer must develop their skill set to be able to communicate effectively in the spiritual environment. What did he say? I am the what? Good shepherd, and know my what? Sheep, and I am known of what? Mine. Continue. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for what? My sheep. He said, I know my sheep, and the what? They know me. That is a very strong communicative tool. So be so nimwa, onimu. And how we'll get them. Because of access of information. Now, why do we need to develop our spiritual informative system? You find out that the access to information from this kingdom comes from only one place. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible said, in sundry times, God communicated to us what? The prophets. But in this time, he's communicating to us what? The Son, Jesus Christ. So our only source of information in this kingdom is what? The Son. If we don't develop our system to hear from the Son, we are in trouble. The question is, who do you hear from? I remember one of the Bible studies, Caesar was saying that he had a communication with a lady and said, her pastor is the living word. Who are you listening to? When your informative system is not developed, everything they say is the life you live as a believer. You see, when you see somebody doing things as a Christian, and you find out that the person is hearing, they say, it means that the person is zero. The spiritual organ systems are dead. Can't hear anything. I don't need to tell you to fast. You must get to a point where you hear for yourself that you need to fast. Yes. I need not to tell you how much you should give unto God on Sunday. You must get to a point where when you are coming to church, God will speak to you. Give this. That's informative system at growth. So if you can say, Pastor said, I'll watch you and say, ah, okay. Informative system, no. Fault for her. In your healing, we need to fix it. So here is the truth of life. The kind of kingdom life you are able to live, the ability to express the life of this kingdom is based on what you know in the kingdom. What you don't know, the verse for the lack of knowledge, my people perish. What you don't know, you don't know. Say, "O Christo sum ebeso ine ako inima, ejina niya wate." Any send ya unye radidin e ngitahon. Your communicative system with God builds how you flow. So strong Christians are people who have their informative system developed. And one of the concepts is the communion with the Holy Spirit. So this journey you're about to do this whole year, I'm going to help you that in my absence, you should know that you can hear God for yourself. I'm too busy to be called. Yes, I'm busy. As you can see, I have to go for crusade camp. So imagine you are calling me and I'm somewhere busy. And you are calling because something has happened to you. No. That is why a good shepherd or a wise master builder will invest in you, such that you can also invest in other people. Hallelujah. I pray that God will help us to be able to what? build our systems. Now let's read this scripture. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 and 10. So the kingdom life you live is based on the heart. The system that are developing you, what you know. That is what we call understanding, light. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be what? Filled with the knowledge. Desire to what? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual heart, in all wisdom and spiritual heart. How do we receive knowledge? When you go to school, how did you receive knowledge? What you saw. Science is defined as what? The observation and what? So what you observe is what you receive knowledge. What do you see spiritually? When you sit in class and the teacher talks, you hear, right? Can you hear God? Paul said that we desire that you will be filled with what? Knowledge. How good knowledge comes to you? It comes through certain organs and systems. So when your spiritual informative systems are not developed, as it stands now, means that you are empty of spiritual knowledge and understanding. Paul said in the book of Ephesians that you may know the will of God for your life. You may know. So these spiritual organs I'm talking about, or this spiritual informative system, are connected by six spiritual organs or spiritual receptacles. Number one, we have the seeing, means that we have the spiritual eyes, right? We have the tasting, we have what? Spiritual tongue. We have the hearing, that means we have the spiritual ear. We have the feeling, means that we have touch, sensitive to touch. Say, God, and God touch me. Receive the touch of God, and people will be falling under the anointing. That touch is a different, it's not that touch I'm talking about. There is a way you can grow to be sensitive to the touch of God. How many have I mentioned so far? I've mentioned four. Okay. Smelling. And the smelling is what we call discernment. How you can know that this is a fake person? This is a fake environment. Discernment. It's called smelling. Spiritual smelling. You enter a place and say, You know, somebody can give you an advice, eh? He's so good. But when you descend, you know it's not from God. Even Jesus went through that. Peter told him that you can't die. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Yes. So you see, people are being canceled into things that God has not canceled them into. Why? Because of their smelling is what? Is dead. Ability to descend. How many have I given now? Five, right? And the last one is knowing. I said, baby, catch them and say, how many of you have experienced that before? I think it can be. It's a spiritual sense. It's not a physical one. It's a spiritual sense. You are able to. That's where the Bible says, "As men that are led." That's where the Holy Spirit leads you, knowing. So you know, like you just know that this is fake. And I always say people who lack that kind of sense are the ones who fall in wrong relationships, whether marriage or whatever relationship. You can meet somebody, the person can look so nice and well dressed, but the Spirit of God will prompt you. This is a spiritual informative system. And we need it because we are living in a very desperate and wicked world. You can't see. The Bible said, men look at the outward. See, our senses can only judge people by outward. It takes God to know what is in the heart of men. And it is our spiritual informative system that helps us to discern people and know that this person is of God. One person can walk into your life and everything you have built for years will come down in just 3 days. And many believers have become victims of these things because their spiritual informative system are down. You can't hear God. So you entered into that business deal not knowing you were being set up. Do you know the devil can send agents into your life? And people walk into your life being so nice to you. But because your spiritual informative system are weak, you don't know that the devil is there with you. Many Christians are carrying Trojan horses with them. Do you know a Trojan horse? It came from a movie concept. Troy. Trojan horse. The enemy's camp is so that they know that they cannot enter the enemy's camp because their walls are defensive system is strong. So what did they do? They designed a horse, entered the horse, and present the horse to them as a sacrifice. And they brought them inside. So that is Trojan horse. When you open your doors to what will destroy you. Many of us have made mistakes because we couldn't discern and know that this place we are going is where our downfall will start from. That is why we need to develop your informative system so that you can hear God and be able to detect the environment you are and walk wisely. It's not everywhere that money is that you have to go. It's not every job that is for you. It's not everybody that can be your friend. Let me advise you. Love is compulsory. Association is not by force. Love is compulsory. God says you love. But the Bible never instructed us to make association. It's never by force. Father, the Bible said, do not be deceived. Bad communication, bad friendship can corrupt your character. So you can love people, but it's not compulsory that you should be friends with them. You don't know what love is. Go and read First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 to 7. Love is kind. So you are kind to somebody, you are loving the person. Love is patient. When you are patient with people, you are loving them. It does not keep record of wrong. You are loving them. It's not by force. You have to bring them into your life. No. Even Jesus, when he came into this world, he had only 11 people around him. Even that 11, there were only 3 who was close to him. Only 3 who he took into his inner chamber. When Jesus was transfigured, it's only 3 people who saw it. When Jesus was praying to the cross, it's only 3 people who knew what was going on with him. He left the other 9, 8 behind. Love is compulsory. Association is not by force. So we need to grow our information and know those who we can call friends. We know places we can go to. Just one encounter vision can change your entire financial life. Go and ask Jacob. The reason why you are trying almost everything is because your informative system is weak. Right after I invested, I know where God is sending me to, so I didn't waste my energy. Right after investing. In fact, in the investing, I knew that I'll never use my certificate. So I didn't even waste my energy trying to look for a job. Because I know it will not work. Even if it is work, it is not God who opened that door for me. I opened it myself. I knew that he was calling me to work in his field. So there's nothing like trying to struggle with God. Because at the end, you lose the fight. So why should I even start that fight myself? You are trying almost everything. You are selling on WhatsApp. You are doing this business. Which one did God ask you to do? These days, that's why I said we really need to see. Because when you start to commune with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he ordered the steps of the righteous. That he doesn't dash his feet against the stone. It's a divine principle. So you don't enter into anything because everybody's doing it. I'm so tired and sick of believers who follow trends. It's because it's working for everybody, doesn't mean that you are part of it. And you are following trend because your informative system is weak. You can't hear God. You don't know God. A friend of mine shared a story with me recently when the COVID came. How a friend of his, the father, lost 70,000 Ghana cedis. Do you know what he did? You saw when the COVID came, did this face masks. So when the face mask came, the price was just shooting up. Then he took 70,000 cedis and ordered from China. And when he calculated, he is going to make almost like 5 times what he has invested. The moment the goods land at the port, health service came to announce that even if you wear the face mask, you need to wear what? Nose masks. That was when it moved from 50 cedis to 10 cedis. Yes, in 3 days, the price dropped. I hope you follow that. To the point that it came to 3 cedis. And people were not even, well, even all the chamukramonye. That is how the father lost 70,000 Ghana cedis. Look at that season. 70,000 cedis. Why? Because he saw people doing it. He didn't even ask of God, can I enter? David, after his wife, his children, everything were taken, he still went to God. Lord, should I pursue? Will I reach them? Will I overtake them? Then God said, go. You must develop your spiritual system, informative system, to know that this is what God is saying. I pray for you that you escape mistakes that will destroy you. See, not every mistake that you can escape. We must learn to escape certain things by wisdom. Hallelujah. Therefore, the believer is the right diet. So how do we develop your spiritual informative system? You need the right diet, food, spiritual food, and then the spiritual environment to be able to develop your informative system. That is why I said that it is not everywhere you need to go as a Christian. God must lead you to the church you must belong to. Christianity is beyond material blessing. In fact, Christianity has nothing to do with material blessing. Can I prove it to you? The first 10 richest people in the world, they are not Christians. If Christianity is indeed about material blessing, like even I said that even the first 30 people in the world, in Africa, the first 10, they are not Christians. The first 10 richest people in Africa, they are not Christians. They are not anything about Christ. They don't know anything about Christianity. It tells you that Christianity is not about material blessing. So I don't know where this kind of thing came from. That people go to church because they believe that God gives breakthrough, but that's not the focus. The focus is growth. Let me tell you, what God wants you to do, or why God came to save you, is that you expose the enemy, and number two, rule over that territory. God needs people to rule on his behalf, on this earth. So you need the right diet and the right environment to grow. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm bringing my message to a close. Who said, oh, you want more? So, we need the right diet, the right environment for our organs, spiritual organs, to grow. And one of the concepts, which is a diet, which is going to help us to grow our informative system, is what I call the communion with the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit. Can we read that scripture again? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Today it is slow because we are starting something new. I want to make sure that I lay the right foundation before I take off. Let's go together, huh? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, the word, the Greek word, or the same word means what? Partnership, fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, the key word over there is fellowship. We know that if you want, according to this scripture here, if you want to build fellowship with the Godhead or with God, you work it through a spirit system called the Holy Spirit. Because what God, the Father, provides unto you is what? Love. And when we say the love of God, it is all the blessings that God has given you. When we say God loves you, it stands for all the blessings that God has blessed you with. And he said, this is a supply of grace. Grace is salvation. The power of God that is at work in you. So that is grace. Mercy, favor are all elements of what? Grace. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he doesn't supply those things. His job is to help you toward fellowship. Fellowship. So the whole thing is that all these things that the Father and the Son has given to you, it takes the Holy Spirit to make them a reality to you. So God can bless you with all spiritual blessings. The Bible says it's what? Spiritual art. It's spiritual art. So your fellowship with the Holy Spirit will let you know how much you can access that blessing. I hope you are following me. God has given you grace, favor. They are not physical things. They are spiritual. But the way to access it is what? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says, when he comes, he shall guide you into all the truth. The communion of the Holy Spirit is when we come to a point where we and God can exchange information, interact. And the more we know God, the better we become. And it takes our spiritual senses to know. If you said you know me, you have seen me, right? You see, there is a way. Let me give you an example. There is a way you know people. Like you said, you have fellowship with people to the extent that even in the voice of people, you know this is the person talking. There can be 10 million people talking over here. If my wife talks, I'll hear her. I'll know she's the one. Even there's no light. You can call me with 10. Do you know there's a point that people can change their numbers? Because say hello, you mention their name. Have you ever done that before? New number will call you. Say hello. Then you say, crazy. Say, how did you know? Your voice. That is what we call fellowship. You have heard the person over and over again. You have interacted to the extent that when the person says, you know, he's the one. I pray for you. May that be your encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the koinonia. When the person, the sound. Sometimes you even just you can even feel the person around you. Have you ever been there? You wanted to call someone, a person called you. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen to people you are not like that with. It's people you are so close with, people you interact with them almost all the time. You are connected to. There's a way you can feel that something is wrong with them, and you can call. That is koinonia. That is the point you can get with God. And this does not happen by no. It comes as your informative system is what? Developed. Say that when God, see, that's where you can feel God's heartbeat. You know what God needs. You know what God is doing. You know what he's telling you to do. That's why I said the steps of the righteous are guarded. I pray for you. Starting from today, as we begin this journey, I pray for you. May there be a sharp turning in your life. See, things that will consume the unbeliever will not consume you. Not because you are better than them, but because you have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Paul was on the boat going to meet the emperor. And the Bible said there was a storm on that ship. And the storm was so great that everybody knew that nobody survived. But the Bible said Paul perceived in his spirit that nobody would die, and he told them. When people think that this economy will swallow, you see, the reason why Christians and mature Christians in quotes are able to wake up every day with a smile is because they've heard something that you've not heard. You are saying that, oh, Ghana is, they know, the Holy Spirit has told them something you don't know. Do you know that on the same land of Gera, where the Bible said there was drought for 3 years, it was the same place that Isaac sowed and reaped hundredfold. How did that work? Because God told him, stay here. He intended to go to what? Egypt. Because that was the place. Now, see, not everybody would go to abroad and prosper. Hear God. Not everybody. That some of you are like Isaac. You want to leave and go to Egypt because that is the greener pastures. $1 is now 14 Ghana cedis, right? But I hear God telling some of you, stay. Sow over here, invest in Ghana. some of you, there is a profession you are doing. You said, oh no, it's not worth it. I want to leave. God, stay there. I want to end with this. Whenever you cannot see, the dangers of life is this. That when your sense organs is at defect, you are handicapped. I hope you know that. So if you can't hear, you are impaired. You're handicapped. It means that you are limited to things you can do. If you cannot see, that is worse. That is one of the things I will never pray for anybody in this world. Blindness. Because if they are poisoning you, why will you know? It's better to be deaf than to be blind. So if you are blind, you are handicapped. You can't see. You live in a total realm. If your hands are struck by stroke and that you cannot feel, you are handicapped. Are you following me? So it is in the spirit realm. And the moment you are handicapped, there are many things in life you cannot do. In some society, you even become an outfit. What we want to do this year is that anything that has become a handicap in our life, we want God to take it away. We want God to take it away. So we want to journey with God such that we can develop our information that we will not be handicapped spiritually. That when the devil comes face to face, we have what it takes to stand against him. When we face any new challenge, we have what it takes to stand against him. Can we be on our feet as we pray? And our prayer is one. Oh God, I invite you. I invite you into my life this morning. And our prayer is that, oh God, Spirit of God, start to work on my informative system. Help me with my informative system. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let me not be handicapped spiritually. I don't want to enter into wrong relationship. I don't want to enter into wrong business. I don't want to walk like the blind. The Bible says, if the blind leads the blind, fall in a ditch. May I not lead my generation into a ditch because my informative systems were not developed. Help me, oh God. Help me, Jesus. Help me. I come, oh God, that you start to work on my informative organs. Cause me to see you, oh God. Cause me to hear from you, Lord. Cause me to discern, oh God. Cause me to have a feel of you. Oh God, a touch of you. Lord, help me. Help me that I will not be a victim of spiritual handicap. May my life not be governed by blindness. May I not be deaf to your ears. Oh God, help me. Can you lift up your voice and pray? Can you lift up your voice and pray? God wants to save some of you from a bad experience. And the only way you do that is by information. Information. Some of us, our life has become this way as a result of a decision somebody took, which is not of God. But we will not do that to our generation. We will not do that to our children. We will not do that to our family. Because we want to hear God. We want to see God. Oh God, help us to grow. Help us to grow our informative system. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now I want you to put your hand on your chest. I want to pray for you. Spirit of God, we know that without you, we are nothing. The Bible said you guide us into all truth. We are starting a journey with you. And this journey is that we will have a with you. That our informative systems will grow. That we will know that when you speak, it is you who is speaking. That we will see and know that it is you, God, we have seen. That we will feel and know that it is you, God, we felt. That we will smell and know that this is of God. That we will be able to know and know that it is you, God, who is here. So this morning, Father, we pray. As we lay our hands on our hearts, we pray that God touch it. Touch it, Lord. Help us to subject ourselves under tutelage and the environment that you will lead us. To help us grow into the stature of your son. I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, if anybody here under the sound of my voice has taken a step as a result of the person not having the right informative system developed, and this decision has caused the person, God, show mercy. God, show mercy. Any mistake we have made because we didn't hear you, Lord, show mercy. Lord, show mercy and reverse it in the name of Jesus. Anything that you have done that the enemy is taking advantage of it, I pray in the name of Jesus and I activate mercy over you. Any legalized activity as a result of what you have done, oh Jesus, Father, step in. Father, step in. Show mercy. If we entered into a wrong relationship, show mercy and save us from it. If we entered into a wrong business, show mercy and save us from it. If we are surrounded by wrong things, show mercy, Lord, and save us. And we pray, God, from today, guide us. Guide us. Thy word, let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let your word shine on us, that we will always and always do what you have said, and not what men are saying, and not what people are saying. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. Can we give a clap of hands to the Lord and take our seat?
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Oh.